It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, the last one for 2012. Today we are going to be talking about Beyond the Beginning, the new starts. What are your goals for your marriage in 2013? So give us a call. We want to hear all about it. 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Very well, Tiffany. Thank you so much. And good morning and welcome to our program to all those here in Philadelphia or in Charlotte or, of course, throughout the world if you're listening online. And as always, we like to welcome you to Marriage Beyond the Vows. And we're talking about new beginnings, fresh starts, you know, being able to press that reset button. Mm-hmm. In just a few days, we'll be bringing in the new year. And it's a great opportunity for us to be able to say, you know what? I want something a little different this year in my relationship. Maybe things have not gone the way you've planned. Maybe there are some things you got to really kind of reconcile in your relationship. So as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Let's go to God. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for your love, your mercy, and thank you, God, for new beginnings, God, the way that you look to us and you give us opportunities to start over and over and over again, God. And Father, we especially want to thank you for a new beginning coming up in 2013, God. And I do pray that you help us to be our best in our relationships, God, and our marriages and our families, and be with our show in a special way. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so what we're going to do, we want to obviously open up the Word of God. We have a theme scripture for the day coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And it simply reads, it says, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And all this is from God, who reconciled to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, that he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Like I said earlier, it's great that God gives us new opportunities. Now, we know we don't need a new year for a new start. Mm-hmm. There's something about us.
Yeah.
That we like fresh starts. We to be able to press that reset button.
Absolutely.
And not bring baggage into the new year. And obviously, January 1st is a great opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know many of us are setting goals and setting, you know, resolutions. And we know a lot of those are kind of dropped later on in the year. But when it comes to relationships, you know, what is it you would like to see different in your marriage?
All right.
In your relationship that you bring into the new year? You know, it might be, you know, maybe there are some things that you are not resolved about.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some things that you might need some help. Maybe the resolution for the new year is, I'm going to get some counseling. I'm going to get over this thing. Maybe is your intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe is your lack of intimacy, you know, financial issues. And the list goes on and on and on. What is going to be new?
All right. And we want to hear from you. So give us a call. What are your goals for your marriage in 2013? 855-454-5905. Can't wait to hear from you.
Absolutely. And let me ask you, Tiffany. I know a lot of times singles, I've heard this a lot, one of their goals is to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you do that? Because sometimes you can't necessarily put a time frame on, okay, I'm going to meet the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get married before the year is over or at least be engaged. And yet it seems to me like maybe the resolution, and again, I'm not trying to say this is the way it should be, but perhaps it should be more like, I'm going to open up my heart this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be willing and open to new opportunities,
mm-hmm.
new relationships that perhaps I would have been closed to in the past. And I'm not talking about your compromising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simply saying that maybe there are some people that God might put in your path that you might not consider.
Mm-hmm.
But instead you say, well, maybe this year I will. I will start new relationships, new friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I will go out more. I would, you know, get more involved in the church and get involved in a singles ministry or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. You tell me for someone that's single, what do you do during this time of year when it comes to relationships?
A lot of times I know I end up focusing on how can I continue to better myself. And I'm always kind of open to new relationships and things like that. I don't think I've had the closed off issue in a while, but I want to focus on making sure that I'm completely 100% great with me, so that when I am very clear that this guy right here is the one I want to go on a path of a relationship with, that I'm not still dealing with my own junk, that I'm cool.
So you want to make sure you're preparing yourself to be in a relationship and not bring baggage with you from the past or expectations that are not realistic. I think that's great. And, you know, for everyone who's married, you know, you might say, well, what's really going to be different? I mean, literally, in a few days, it will be 2013. And is my relationship really going to be different? And my answer is, that's entirely up to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's what you do. What are you going to do differently? Because it will be, you know, and the definition of insanity is what you do something over and over again and you expect a new or different result.
Right.
And here we are. We're talking about new beginnings, setting goals. And I want to encourage you that there's a difference between a goal and a dream. You know, you can dream all you want. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But you, if you don't have goals and you don't really kind of hit some benchmarks of what we're going to do in terms of getting there. And so that's why I recommend that you really look to something, look to an opportunity to say, okay, well, maybe we will get counseling or we will start building relationships with other couples to help us. Or maybe what we're going to make sure we start setting up. I know in my family, something that really is big. And if we're not really forceful about it, it won't happen. It's having our family time. And our family time is divided between the time my wife and I have together and then the time with the kids. And it's like we religiously, like incredibly, like I can say how strict we are about kind of keeping it sacred where nothing else should get in the way. Now, I can't tell you we've done that 100%, but we're pretty good at saying, okay, wait a minute. We can't allow other things or distractions or anything else get in the way of our family time, because it's a time to bond, to talk, to be open. We always have a lot of fun around it, but we have serious conversations and we talk about and evaluate where we are. And my wife and I do that as husband and wife. Then, of course, we include the kids. But to us, that's so, so key. And we're going to do that even more and even plan bigger and better things for our family time.
That's awesome. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's something that I always thought about. Like when you're in a relationship, that's so important to make sure that you all divide your time up appropriately. Spend that you and her time and you and her with the kids time. That's important. So listen, it's important for us to hear from you. We want to know what your goals are for your marriage in 2013. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. We have Karen on the line, and she wants to know about how not to carry baggage into the new year. We're going to find out. Karen, we want you to hold on. Marcos is going to tell you how not to carry that baggage into the new year, and we'll hear more from you when Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Very, very good morning. And thank you so much for joining us, Marriage Beyond the Vows, today on the last Saturday of 2012. We are talking about beyond the beginnings, the new starts. What are your goals for your marriage in 2013? We're looking for you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. First on the line is Karen, who wants to know how not to bring that baggage into the new year. Karen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing very well. Well, Karen, thank you so much for calling in. And what exactly is your question? You're saying you don't want to bring baggage into the new year. Is that correct?
Correct. We had a really bad year this year. My husband left me. I didn't even know he had left me. So I laugh about it all the time. Everybody else knew about it, but I didn't know about it. So this year, I just want to come into a new year without the resentment of the rejection and the drama of things, because I'm just letting him have his way. I just keep praying on the whole situation because he doesn't have a legal divorce yet. So I just pray, and I keep a lot back, but I just feel like there's so much tension. There's so much drama all the time.
So you're saying other people knew he left you, but you didn't know? Explain that, please, because, I mean, how do you not know that he left you?
Well, that's because he told everybody else. He didn't tell me until after he had moved.
Wow. Wow, so you were literally the last person to know when he left instead of
Right.
Wow, so of course, there's going to be a lot of tension, and then it's becoming a messy divorce. Well, I think number one, I mean, in simple terms, I mean, it's your decision, right? You can decide to say, well, I'm not going to let this drama affect me in 2013. But one thing I want to share with you, I love this passage. And, you know, God, I believe, is a God of forgiveness and of new beginnings. And that doesn't mean that every situation works out. It just means that we get to handle the situation differently, right? And so in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then it goes on and it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so really what happens during these, I would say, turbulent times or even very stressful times is that you have a decision if you're going to let these things affect you or not. Like, for example, he made his own decision. Obviously, it doesn't sound like it's something you wanted, but for some reason, he decided he wants out of the marriage. And 1 Corinthians 7 talks about that. It says you can, I mean, if he decides to leave, then let him leave. And now you'll be free and clear, in a sense, to move on with your life. And so what is it exactly that you're hoping or that is stressing you that you just can't let it go and say, you know what, if that's what he wants to do, he wants to divorce me, then I'll leave it all in God's hands.
I think that's where the problem comes in, because I didn't accept that, and I just was like, okay, I'll just keep praying on it, and eventually he'll have to love, he'll have to change, he'll have to do something. But when people fall out of love, they don't change, and they don't want what they don't want. So, I mean, it's just, like, really, like, petty, like, if you're going, you're going. I don't think that we should be bickering about anything or ever having anything other than something kind to say about each other or to each other when we pass each other, you know what I mean, when we pass off our child. But it's always just like something to where there was something where he lied about where he was supposed to be or the time he was supposed to pick him up. I mean, it just seems so petty, and I really want to let it go, but I think that I don't let it go because I think I just keep constantly looking back and thinking about the resentment of the rejection of it all.
Of course. And you know what? I'm sure. I'm not in your shoes, and I can't relate to that rejection. And that's understandable, but at the same time, it's not excusable before the eyes of God. Like, we can understand certain things, but sometimes we feel justified, right? We feel like, well, now I can treat him. I could be rude because he was such a jerk. Instead of, you know what? I still need to be like Jesus. And being like Jesus doesn't mean that we're pushovers and we're allowed, you know, him to do whatever. But we can be really firm. But you can decide that your emotions are not going to take over. You say you have a child together. You know, if he's being irresponsible, and this is what it sounds like. Again, he's not here to defend himself. But from what you're sharing, we got to kind of trust what you're sharing, that he's not being a very responsible. He was an irresponsible husband. And he was pretty cowardly about how he dealt with the whole situation. And now he's still being, you know, he sounds like he's in your child's life, but he's being irresponsible about that. And he's lying and he's not being straightforward. I think if you set your heart of knowing that this is where he is right now and just set up your own boundaries. Like, look, if you don't show up to have the child, then you know what? He'll miss out on that. And of course, it does affect your child, but you do the best you can with your child. And then there are consequences. Next time, you know, you come pick him up. I'm not going to meet you halfway, because if you're going to keep, being late or having excuses, then like set up your boundaries and be really firm around them. Not that you're mean, but look, this is you have a life. You have a child to raise. You have a lot to do moving forward. And so you can't let his irresponsibility affect your lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Well, Karen, we thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, sorry to hear that. But guess what? God gives you a new opportunity to start. And you never know how God will use this situation. Romans 8:28 talks about God works for the good of those who love him.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Karen.
Thank you all for being there every Saturday morning because I don't miss the show.
Absolutely great.
Thank you
so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. The number to call in, we want to know what your goals are for your marriage for 2013. What are you planning to change, make different, improve, continue? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. Let's go to line two and speak with Dolly. Hi, Dolly. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for holding.
Well, Dolly, our producer mentioned that you want your husband to take more of initiative in terms of planning. I don't know if you're responding to what I shared in terms of what I do with my family, but yes. What exactly is going on?
Well, exactly right. I am family-oriented. I have 5 children, 3 daughters-in-law, son-in-law, 10 grand.
Ooh.
Okay, and yes, and we do the family gathering. Once a month, I make all the family come to me, or we go dinner or whatever, you know, once a month. Just to keep that family bond going because everybody working and they get caught up with their own life. But with my husband, I've been with him over 23 years, and I love to travel. So it's like every time we go to vacation, whether Jamaica, Hawaii, or Vegas, or wherever, I have to be the one to take initiative to make these trips. I have to be the one to plan the family out. And, when I want flowers, I have to, like, remind him, look, it's time for some flowers. I mean, I love my husband. I'm not going to trade him in. He's a great guy and everything. He's very supportive financially. But this time, I would like for him to be like, baby, don't make no plan this weekend because I got something planned for you. And I see that going on with some of my sons, too, because my daughters-in-law be telling me the same thing, how they don't want to get involved with a lot of the family island. So what is it with the guys, and why won't they get more in touch with their feminine side, such as help out with their holiday decoration, sometime with the gardening? I mean, what's up with that?
Well, you know what? I thank you so much for sharing this, Dolly, and you're keeping it real. I think, number one, you're not going to get a great result if you make it or you put it in that light. Like, be in touch with your feminine side. That automatically doesn't sound manly enough, so you kind of reject it instead of, wow, this is romantic or this is a turn-on. When, honey, when you do this, like, you know what my wife has done? And I actually used to do this more often, and every so often she's reminded me of this. Before we had kids, when we were like younger, the first few years of our relationship and you know, in terms of being married, I would be very spontaneous. Like I would say, the weekend would be here. I would say, honey, pack your bags. We're going. Where are we going? I have a surprise for you. And I would take her away. Then, of course, life just got a little bit more complicated. We couldn't plan it as well with children. That doesn't mean we can't do it. Now we just have a few more kind of hurdles to overcome before we're able to just go. And so for a while, I stopped doing what I used to do. And she, one day she sat me down. She said that actually a couple of times. She's like, I miss how spontaneous you used to be. And you used to just surprise me with, we're going on a getaway or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now the vacations always happen. And my wife and I, what we've done is we plan 2 major vacations in the year. We plan at least 1 week where we take the kids, and then we plan another one where we don't bring the kids. Like, we work it out, and we go for at least a week, sometimes 10 days, without them. And that is, like, really healthy for us. But the in-between, you know, for us, we just have very busy lives. We just have a lot going on. And so the every 2-3 months, just having a little getaway is very important, and it means a lot to her. But what's helped me is when she's put it not on me, like, as a burden, but, like, wow, you know, I just... That was so special. And, you know, our intimacy is better during those days as we get away.
Yes, it is.
You know, there are no distractions. And so, you know, if she were to put it the way you just put it, in terms of like, I need to be more in touch with my feminine side, I don't know if I would be motivated enough to do it. But the way she's presented it, it's like, honey, I love this. This makes me feel great. And it makes me feel like the man. Like, I can do this, and I have some kind of power and leverage. And so I'm going to make a few assumptions here, Dolly. I'm going to say one is, because you have 10 grand, I imagine you and your husband have been together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have acquired a lot of baggage throughout the years. And some are good and some are bad. Like you said, you wouldn't trade him in. He's a good man, and you're grateful. But there is something that you wish would be different this year, right? You wish he would just take a little bit more initiative and say, you know, honey, I planned something for you. Surprise. Where are we going? Look, it's you know, it might not be Jamaica. It might not be, you know, whatever, be really elaborate. But guess what? We're going down south. It's cold and we're going down to a hot place or whatever. And so you would be very encouraged. So my encouragement to you is start slow. If he could just plan at least one of these special getaways for you in the upcoming year, that would be better than what happened in 2012. And so don't expect him all of a sudden to every month to have something elaborate planned, but maybe a special date. And in addition to that, a little getaway, but let him know how that would be good for you and for your relationship. And how, you know, sometimes my wife simply says, honey, I miss, you know, our special time or us going away without the kids. And then I've realized that we got to work together, but there's something about when I take the initiative that she feels very special.
Oh, yeah, because women is like that. They want their men to do some things like that for them sometimes. They do. Whether it's just leaving me a note and let me find it when I get at work. And it helps better with the relationship. It really do. And like I say, you know, I've been doing it for so long, I'm not letting it hinder me or nothing. But, you know, I do remind my husband of it. And sometimes I would like it if you just surprised me. But, you know, I don't know what's up with a lot of these brothers out here, because my own son's doing the same thing. But
we'll
just keep God in the mix of it.
Keep God in the mix. And you know what? The good thing is God doesn't forget. And that shouldn't stop you from one advice I want to give you here. don't hold back because they're falling short. Like, be patient.
Never.
Sometimes people take a little longer to get there. But if you stop, because this is what happens. Dr. Emerson calls it the crazy cycle. It's like sometimes a woman withholds her respect for her husband because she doesn't feel like he's being loving. And then he withholds his love for his wife because he doesn't feel like she's being respectful. And so, like, no one humbles, no one takes the high road. No one says, okay, I'm going to humble out. So I want to encourage you. It sounds like this is what and Gary Chapman shares about this in the five love languages. Your love language seems to be, you know, quality time and even these small things that seem very thoughtful. So keep doing your part with the prayer of, you know what, maybe he'll get the hint, you know, go above and beyond, send him the note. Maybe you already do that, but send him the note. And then when he shares, wow, that was so encouraging. Not at that moment, but maybe a few days later, say, you know what, you know how you got very encouraged? I would love to be encouraged like that one day. And then leave it at that. And then again, you do something else. And he's like, wow, that was so nice of you. That was so great. Well, like, honey, you know what? I would love to feel that as well. Again, don't do it at that moment, because then it'll sound like you're trying to do it so that you can get it in return. But when you have that conversation, and that's why my wife and I'll leave it at this, when we have our family times and our times to have some real conversation is when we bring up these things. We'll take, not every time, but some of those times we'll evaluate how we're doing, what we're doing. We'll look at the good, and then we'll say, okay, this is what we could improve upon. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that already, spend that quality time and bring it up and say, honey, you're great. It sounds like you have a good man. So lift them up, but then say, honey, this is something that this would make you even greater.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate all of that. And what's her name? Stephanie? Well, anyway, I love
Tiffany.
103. Y'all have a good day, because my doctor is calling.
Oh, okay, no problem. It's
okay.
Tiffany.
Bye.
All right, no problem.
Thank you,
Dolly.
It's all
Stephanie,
good.
Stephanie, you got a new name for the new year.
No, thank you. I like Tiffany. I like it. But yes, we also like it if you give us a call. We are talking today about Beyond the new starts. We are looking for what your goals are for your marriage for 2013. So reach out and give us a call, 855-454-5905.
All right. And if you're looking for a new love in 2013, maybe you're starting over in your relationship. Maybe, you know, unfortunately, like we had a caller earlier, Karen said that her husband, he's divorcing her. And who knows? Sometimes divorces take a long time. Again, we're not advocating divorce. We're not encouraging it. But there are times where you have no control, like 1 Corinthians 7 talks about. It's like if your spouse, your unbelieving spouse, decides to leave and move on, then you're free and clear. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to start over and say, how do I build new relationships? How do I start? Or like many of you who listen, you're single and you want a godly relationship. You want to find that right person. You know, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. We want to hear your goals, your dreams, your vision for 2013. And we want to be able to give you some input about it. Like, how do you set it right? Because sometimes we set ourselves up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed. I'm not trying to be humorous about this, but for real, I know some people who really have some goals, like I really want to get married this year, or I want to change this, but then they don't take the measurements or the steps to get to that point. So it's like someone who wants to get married, but then they don't date.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
It's kind of hard. I mean, it's like, and what I tell people is, not everyone you date you're going to marry, but the person you marry eventually is someone you dated.
Right.
And I tell you, one thing I've learned about relationships is that you might end up, especially when you're a Christian and you have pure relationships, okay, there's purity in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll end up on a date with someone and that's not the one, but that person becomes a great friend and they end up saying, wait a minute, Tiffany, I know that you got to meet this guy. You're like, another guy tried to set me up. He's like, no, meet my roommate. Or, you know, the funny thing is, with my wife, when I was single, I had a young roommate who I thought was perfect for my wife. Honestly, I didn't see my wife that way. I tell people all the time, I was blind, but now I see. And I really thought. And so this guy, you know, being a young Christian, being kind of a young campus student, he took my wife on a date and he was sharing my roommate. And he shared, you know, sister, I'm just praying about our date. And she's like, okay. And he's like, yeah, because Marcos told me you might be a potential sister for me. And she was like, what? Because she already had an interest in me. And I tell you, I was really blind. But what I appreciate is the purity that we had in our relationship. We were all friends. And I really did think that my roommate would have been a great match for
her.
But what ended up happening later is our good friend of ours ended up being like, we hooked them up, and we weren't deliberately hooking them up. We were just doing some work at our house. My old roommate was helping us. And my wife's friend, who really close to my wife, she was helping us too. And they ended up on a car ride together, helped us pick out some cabinets. And that was the beginning of their journey. Now they're married with a child, and it's so fun and it's great. But you never know through friendships how you might meet that right person. Now, I would encourage you, surround yourself with good friends.
Right.
Because those good friends are going to keep good company.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have the best of friends, like I had a guy this week tell me, this is a little funny, but it's sad. He said he just started studying the Bible, totally didn't grow up with a Christian background. And he was on Facebook and he had an old girlfriend of his post on Facebook. He's not with her or anything, but they still stay connected on Facebook. And she said, I'm tired of meeting these men in bars and they end up being losers. And he was like, maybe you should stop looking at bars and go to church. You know, go to church and find a man. Now, we're not saying you should go for the primary reason of finding someone, but at the right time, it's like,
you never know.
You never know. But also the people you surround yourself with, their company, it's going to be someone that maybe you can connect with. So anyway, I'm looking at you, Tiffany, saying, hey, where are you finding these guys? I know you're very involved in the community. You do a lot of things. But, you know, one of those guys with a big heart for the community, for the arts, for the younger generation might be the perfect person for you, who together you'll become dynamite.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, I think. All right, and enough about me. We want to hear about you, so give us a call. 855-454-5905. Let's go to line one and speak with Pat, who is searching for a saved man for the new year. Pat, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
What is your comment or question for us in regards to setting new goals for the new year?
Well, you know, I'm 34 years old, and I've been in and out of a lot of long-term relationships that I should not have been in. My walk with the Lord has just gotten more serious. But I've been single for some time now, so I was just wondering, you know, I come from a very different generation of people, young people, and it's kind of hard being single. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to ask God to send me a husband. And what is the best place to seek a husband? Is it in a church, or should you just pray and ask the Lord to send you someone that, you know, well, he chooses, that he picks it, or he may have for you? I mean, it's kind of...
Well, you know what's interesting is you have an interesting way of putting it, and I want to encourage you to make a little bit of a shift. I think you're heading in the right direction, but you have to shift your mindset a little bit, because if you're searching, right, the mm-hmm. Bible does say seek and you will find. However, most of those scriptures are referring to seek the Lord, like Psalm 37:4, right? It says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so
right.
Sometimes we think we know what we want, but God absolutely knows what we need. And so we could be very, very blinded to what we need. And so, for example, if you say, I want a saved man, well, that's very relative. I mean, just because he's at church or just because, you know, he feels like he's changed doesn't mean he's the right man for you. And also doesn't mean that he's real about his commitment to God. And so the first thing would be like, God, just show me someone. And this is my prayer. I'm just going to share with you what I prayed. I started praying that I wanted to find someone that we together could be better. That I felt like I, as a single man, I was very involved with church. I did a lot for people, but I knew something was missing. And I knew if I had the right woman by my side, that we could be a great team. And I tell you, I had previous relationships where I realized that I wasn't better. Now, I didn't realize that right away, but a few months into the relationship, I realized that my focus shifted. Like, I was very involved and very focused. Now, I was still involved, but my focus shifted. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to keep her happy, or maybe we didn't get along. And, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not better. And when I met my wife, I share this all the time, the greatest and biggest compliment I heard was when people said things about me, that because I was with my wife, I became better.
Okay.
My wife is extremely approachable. I mean, people love her. She's like a magnet. She goes into a room and people just gravitate towards her. They just love my wife. And so I started becoming more like that. Like, people were like, wow, since you've been with Amaryllis, I feel like I can talk to you more. Now, I think it's not that I was unapproachable, but I think I just had an approachable demeanor.
Okay.
And so it was like I was like a hard nut to crack, but once you cracked me open, you know, it's like I was good on the inside, but you just didn't get that right away. And so what my wife did is her personality is so warm and welcoming that people just felt like they can come to us. And all of a sudden, even when I wasn't with her, that became contagious. And so I didn't plan that. I didn't think, okay, this is what I need. I just prayed, God, someone that will make me better. And I tell you, she's the right woman. She's by my side. I mean, I love her. She loves me. Of course, we have our challenges like every other couple, but even in our challenges, it's fun. We're enjoying this ride.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like when I pray and I talk to the Lord in my prayer, sometimes I feel like I'm being manipulative. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, you can't manipulate God. I'm like, he knows your deepest hearts of hearts. And I'm like, you know, you can't just seek the Lord because you want to be found as a wife, or, you know, you want a husband. And I feel funny praying it.
Well, you know what I appreciate? If you read the Psalms, the psalmist, whether it was David or one of the other psalmists, they tend to be incredibly open, to the point where sometimes I'll read them and I'm like, whoa, you know, like God can strike you. But it's helped my prayer life, where I can say, you know what? I feel close enough with God that I can be open and honest. Now, I still want to be respectful, but let's be open and honest. And I think there's nothing wrong with you saying, you know what, God, I'm really lonely. You know, God, I love you and I know you should be enough, but I do want a companion. And get your heart right. Like, why do you want that? I think if I was looking for someone, and I was before, I'll be honest, if I was looking for someone that's just, you know, a pretty face, or someone that's just going to make me feel good, or, you know, someone, I remember I was dating this one girl that a few years before I met my wife, where a lot of my coworkers and my friends, they were like, wow, that's your that's your girlfriend. I mean, she's beautiful. And this, and I used to feel so proud of that. Now, I believe my wife is beautiful, but there was something like I wanted that woman where everyone was envious. And she was very shallow. She was shallow, and it didn't work out. And my wife, again, she's beautiful, but what makes her even more beautiful is her heart, her conviction.
Right.
Now, she's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what stood out to me wasn't so much her outward beauty. It was her. Yeah, it was just, I mean, she was a magnet to this day. I mean, people love my wife. People love me, but they like incredibly love my wife. So sometimes I'm like, you know, my wife and I just relocated and I took a job as I'm a lead pastor now in a church, and they wanted me to come. They loved me. They were like, and they were like, but we got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We really want you, but man, forget it. Like your wife, we want you even more because of your wife. And they're like, we're just going to be honest. Like the women love your wife. They want her. We you guys got to come as a package, right? And of course. And I love that, but it was like, you know what? We like you, but we love her.
Mm.
And
so it's like, we love her.
What can I say? I mean,
she
makes me better. So, Pat, I just want to encourage you, be honest with God. You can't manipulate God. That's deep that you said that. So don't try. Just be open.
I have been very open with I am very open with the Lord in prayer because, you know, who's more better to know me than him? That's number one. Number two, you know, he knows all. So it's like, you know, it's like don't get on your knees or try to hide anything or try to pray around certain things that's in your heart. It's like while you're down here on your knees, pray about those too. You know, on top of, you know, you praying to him for, you know, to have intimacy or to, because I don't just pray to God just to ask for things. I pray to the Lord because I want to remain close to him, you know, and I want to have an intimate relationship with God. And being so I don't have a husband, then it kind of forces me to be intimate with the Lord because I have to open up to somebody.
I love how you say it. You know, it's interesting.
You know,
as men, I
get down here and I talk with him as if he's in the same room with me.
Good.
And I share some of my most deepest feelings and things like that and wants with the Lord. And, you know, so I think I have a great prayer life with God. But, you know, I don't, you know what, maybe I'm too focused on that and I just need to leave it alone. And maybe the Lord is enjoying my relationship with him and intimacy that I have with him. So maybe he might be taking his time sending me someone. Who knows?
I don't know, but one thing I can tell you, he might be, and I'm pretty sure he is, but you want to make sure you enjoy that. When you get to that point where you say, you know what, I don't need a man to feel secure. I don't need a man to feel complete. However, you can still be real. Because, see, God is real, but there's some physical needs that God needs to put someone in your life. Like, God could have said that. People don't talk about this enough, right? But when God created Adam, he said it's not good for him to be alone. He could have just said, look, Adam has me. He doesn't need anyone. It's like, no, there was still a missing part to Adam.
Yeah.
And the reality is we are designed to fill that void. Now, not everyone. Paul did say he had the gift, and there are very few people who do have that gift and that they can remain single forever.
Mm.
But that's not everyone. And so sometimes people pretend to have that gift. They're like, oh, I have the gift. And it's like, well, maybe you do. But it doesn't sound like Pat. It doesn't sound like you do. And so being honest and saying, God, I love you and you are enough, but I do need a physical partner, someone that we could be a team and we could be even greater. Because there'll be things you can do as a married woman that you can't as a single woman. That's the truth.
Right, absolutely.
All right. Well, Pat, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank y'all for having me, and I appreciate all of your insight and the reference to the scriptures and things like that, because I'll have to read over some of those. But thank you so much,
right,
and God bless y'all.
Well,
I love y'all so much.
Thank you, and have a blessed new year.
Okay, you too.
Take care. Bye-bye. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Make sure you give us a call. We are talking about what are your goals for your marriage in 2013? 855-454-5905. Let's go to Karen. She is calling in online, too. Karen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
We're doing very well. We're excited for the new year. I mean, it's great to have a new beginning. But I believe you sadly shared with our producer that you're getting divorced in 2013.
Yes. was not something that I ever looked forward to.
Absolutely. Karen, I'm sorry. Can you do us a big favor and just speak up a little bit? You sound a little low.
Well, it's not something that I ever wanted to do. I never wanted to divorce my husband. However, because of things beyond my control, my husband is a very intelligent man, very bright, very very mm-hmm. smart man in some things, but he is a man that has a lot of relationships with a lot of different women. I prayed about it. I've stuck with him when we had little and have much, and it just seems as though that that's one of the strongholds over his life. And I've just asked him repeatedly, you know, even to the point of having outside children.
Wow.
I even, you know, attempted to try to make our marriage work through that.
Wow.
But I prayed a lot, and I've consulted with the Lord. I have not dated because I just know that because I am who I am in Christ.
Sure.
And I am still married, in spite of what has been going on. I cannot go out here and date anyone. And I've just begun to have a yearning to be in relationship and to have a good relationship. And I want a holy relationship. I want a pure relationship. And I can't do that as long as I'm attached.
Absolutely.
To my husband. And I'm not going to, and I'm just not going to do that. And this year, it just was really on my heart, and I've just been praying and praying, and I just asked the Lord, which way should I go?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way that I want to go.
Okay.
It's not something that's just happened overnight. This has been of years and years
okay.
of waiting and hoping and praying.
Well, let me just interject a little bit there, Karen. I think, number one, I appreciate it, and I'm sure we all appreciate it, when you didn't just come off saying all the negative things. It obviously shows your heart that you have tried to make this work. And there's a difference. You know, you could be very intelligent, and there are a lot of intelligent people who do a lot of foolish things. And that's what the Bible calls wisdom. And listening to the story about your husband reminds me of that scripture in Proverbs chapter 5, where it talks about, you know, the man who doesn't have discretion, who doesn't who gives in to the adulteress, and who basically ends up in his life very alone and regretful. Like, man, he's come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. That's what it says. And I think that, you know, it sounds like you are a good woman. I mean, even like I said, you don't sound bitter. You don't sound resentful. You sound resolved. But I do believe that you're heading in the right path by saying, I need to move on with my life. I mean, you do. It's only right. It's only fair if you've tried to work it out. But if your husband cannot be faithful, you can't have a marriage. There's just, that's no way to live. First of all, it's even dangerous to be, you know, have intimate relationship with someone who's sleeping around. And then secondly, it's not how God designed marriage to be. Marriage is a covenant. Your husband has broken it over and over again. And so I believe that's why God gives that as an option, not because he wants us to divorce and end, but because he realizes, you know what, you cannot have a relationship with someone if they're not faithful. It just doesn't work. And it sounds like you are resolved, and you have our encouragement to move forward, honestly. I know we're just people. I'm just a man. I'm giving you my point of view. But I think that from what I read in the Word of God, you've done, from what you're sharing, everything you could have done. And at this point, it's good to just say it's time to move on and see what God does with it.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe this is the kind of the place your husband needs to get to even see the error of his ways, so that there will be hope for him to change one day. Because if not, he's going to keep doing this over and over again, and he'll end up married to someone else, and he'll be unfaithful to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you so much. I really enjoy this show. It's just such a blessing for so many men and women that are going through so many struggles and relationships. And I've been listening to you guys forever. And this is, I'm a first time caller.
Amen.
But
thank
I just
you.
Really, I respect you so much. And I really, a decision like this, I wanted to talk to you about it. I mean, I've talked to others, but
okay.
I just wanted to talk to you because I really, really love what you do. I love how you break the word down. And in everything that you do, you always go to the word of God.
Amen.
And I really, really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. And you have a blessed new year. And thank you so much for opening your heart to us.
All right. And take care. Thank you for calling.
Welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. And we want you to give us a call as well. 855-454-5905 is the number. We will continue our conversation about your goals for your marriage in 2013. We're also going to find out what people on the book, Facebook, are saying. So stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.